While you're turning there, this announcement that the nursery list is being made up for the month, going to be made up for the month of August. And if you're not already on the list and would like to be on the list, please let Mrs. Strobel know. Psalm 62. As I announced this morning, I've got somewhat of an unusual message tonight. Yet this message, by the time we're finished, you're going to find out that it won't seem this way at first probably, but it's a very practical message, one that can help you where you're at right now. It might not seem like that when we first get into it, but I guarantee you that it will be. It may not even dawn on you how practical it is till sometime after the message is over, but I do guarantee that there is practicality in it. But as I also said this morning, I think I can guarantee you that you've never heard a message on this subject before in your life. And I'm going to pray, then we'll read the scripture, and then I'll tell you what we're going to talk about tonight. Father, thank you for letting us gather here. And I believe, as sure as I stand here right now, that you've got a purpose for this time. I pray that you'd accomplish this purpose. And in this somewhat unique and unusual message, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to honor and glorify you. I pray that you'd help us to understand some things that would make us some better Christians where we are right now, as well as what might take place in somebody's life in the future. Bless the scripture as we read it, as we look into it. I pray that you give me your power as I speak, and help me now with every word that's about to come out of my mouth. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 62, verse number 5, says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them." I want to direct you to that last line we just read. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. I'm going to talk to you tonight about the subject, if I had lots of money. I did not say if I were to win the lottery, as your parents tell you, you know. They fix you up forever if they win the lottery. That's what they always say. But I said if I had lots of money. A subject that no doubt is very dear to your heart, if you had lots of money, that would be very dear to your heart. But I'm going to talk to you about that subject. We're going to look at this verse a little bit closer, and I want to bring some things out about this thing. It is not, I want to say at the beginning, it is not one of my goals in life to get lots of money. The biblical injunction is to be content with such things as you have. And I am content with what I have. If God were to give me more, I then would be content with what he gave me more. But you see, if you're not content right now with what God has given you, the chances are very high and very probable that if God were to give you more and increase your riches, you would not be content then either. See, because contentment is not based on how much money you have. It's based on having a satisfactory relationship and trust in God. When it comes to the subject of money, as I said, it's not one of my goals to get a lot of money. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and you need not turn there, but verse number 9 warns you that they that will be rich in this world fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. It is not my goal, nor should it be one of my goals, to get lots of money. A person that desires in their heart to get rich, to get a lot of money, they're going to do what's going to happen to them is what he says right here. They are going to fall into temptations, they're going to fall into snares, and then many foolish and hurtful lusts which do drown men in destruction and perdition. If you make getting money your goal, and that is your goal, and that is your supreme end, then you'll forsake biblical standards to get the money, you'll forsake biblical precepts to get the money, you will forsake your relationship with God to get that money, if your supreme goal is to get money. That's not mine, nor should it be mine, nor should it be yours. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What is he talking about there? He's talking about the carnal things, the needs, the food, the clothing, what you need to get by in this life. And God said, you're not even to seek after that. The Gentiles seek after those things. But you as a child of God, you need to seek first the kingdom of God. You need to seek first His righteousness, trying to live right and do right and be like Him. And then you do that, and God will take care of your needs. He'll supply them. All these other things that we spend our time seeking after, God will supply, and He'll take care of them. The Bible, of course, says in one of the most famous verses of the Bible, 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." Now, that verse is often misquoted. And notice it does not say, how it is, even though it's often misquoted as saying this, it does not say that money is the root of all evil. Many times people quote it like that. But it says the love of money is the root of all evil. It is a person's attitude toward that money and trust in that money and love for that money that causes it to be a sin. But money in itself is not the root of all evil. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. Now, here where we begin in Psalm 62, we got an interesting verse. And this verse is showing God preparing somebody in case they should get rich. It's showing God preparing somebody in case they should get rich as to how to behave if they do get rich. Just because I don't seek after getting lots of money doesn't mean that God might not drop a bunch on me someday. And if He does, it is my responsibility to know what to do with it if He does. The verse says this, "If riches increase, set not your heart upon them." The first thing I'd like to say is that I'd like to have a chance to obey that verse. Amen? I mean, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? We got chances to obey just about everything else in the Bible. That'd be a nice one to try to have the opportunity to obey. He says, if riches increase. That's conditional upon whether or not they do. And I know in most of our cases, God's never going to make us multi-millionaires, billionaires, or even $100,000 heirs. In a lot of our cases, not even thousandaires, you know. But I mean, but if God does drop some money our way, we all know what to do with it. God in His wisdom, in this verse, is instructing us as to how to act if He ever decides to give us a lot of money. Now, being rich is not a sin in itself. Having lots of money is not a sin in itself. The main sin that comes along with being rich and having lots of money is loving those riches and trusting those riches and loving and trusting those riches more than you love and you trust in God. The Bible tells us that we're to trust not in uncertain riches. Riches make themselves wings. They fly away toward the heaven, the Bible says. Those riches that are there today may be gone tomorrow. So we can't put our faith in Him. We can't put our trust in Him. Our trust and our faith is supposed to be God. There are some pretty famous and pretty important men in the Bible, as well as in Christian history, that have had lots of money, that have loved God and been right with God. You think of the Old Testament and the man named Job. Now, Job had a lot of possessions, had a lot of money. Abraham had a lot of money, had a lot of possessions. David had a lot of money and a lot of possessions. Solomon had it. But in Solomon's case, it about did him in, along with some other things. But just having that money and being rich is not a sin in itself. Matthew chapter 27, in verse number 57, you read about a man named Joseph of Arimathea. Do you know what the Bible says about that man? First of all, you know what that man did? That man, when Jesus was dead, went to Pontius Pilate, the governor, and begged the body of the Lord Jesus. Having begged the body of the Lord Jesus, Pilate gave it to him. He took the body, wrapped it up in a fine linen cloth, and took and placed that body in his own sepulcher that he had hewn out for himself. It was he took it and put him in his own grave and took the body of the Lord Jesus Christ respectfully to give it a decent burial, just out of love for God. But you know what the Bible says about that man? That man who was used of God in that case, that man who has now become famous in biblical circles from those that know the Bible. The Bible says about him that he was a rich man. It says it specifically. He was a rich man. Now, being rich is not a sin in itself. You have a rich man in Luke chapter 16 who sinned with his riches and wound up in hell. You got a rich man in Matthew chapter 27 who did not sin with his riches but took them and used them for the glory of God, and God blessed him for it to the end that his name is now recorded in the eternal word of God in a good sense. That's quite a memorial for somebody that used their money for God. Every so often, based on things like what we're reading here, every so often, I like to get prepared in case God does give me some riches. I mean, every so often, and not too often, but every so often, I dream a little bit about what I would do if my riches increased. I mean, do you know what you would do if yours increased? Do you know what you would do? Let me ask you this. If God gave you $1 million tonight, I mean, 1 million smackaroos, if God gave you $1 million tonight, do you know what you'd do with it? You say, no, I have no idea what I'd do. I'm not sure at all what I would do. Well, maybe that's why God isn't giving you $1 million, because he figures if he gave it to you, you wouldn't know what to do with it anyway, wouldn't know how to use it, right? So he's just not going to give you $1 million. Maybe that's why. Somebody says, yeah, I know right what I'd do if God gave me $1 million. Yeah, and maybe that's why he ain't giving you $1 million too. Because he knows exactly what you'd do if he gave you $1 million. But it's like somebody said about money. It's a strange thing. When you don't have any money, nobody knows you. And then when you do have money, you don't know yourself. And that's about the size of it. And if God gave a lot of people $1 million, you know what they do? They get themselves out of church. They get themselves out of their Bible. They get themselves out of the will of God. They figure they don't have to trust in God. Now they've got it made. And they just go living like the devil. And before long, you know what happened? Same thing that happened to the prodigal son when his money ran out. Find themselves down in the wallowing with the hogs and the slop. And just wishing they'd get back home to the Father's house. But if God gave you $1 million tonight, what would be the first thing that you'd do? You ought to be prepared. I mean, what if God gave you $1 million? You don't want to end up becoming like some weird lost person or some backslidden saved person, do you? I mean, you want to still be right with God if God gives you some money. God will never give, as I said, most of us, probably $1 million. But if God ever increases my riches, if God ever increases your riches, you ought to be prepared as to what to do. If he ever increases mine, I want to be prepared as to what to do. And this Bible says, if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. And God is instructing somebody for the possibility of riches increasing and telling him what his attitude ought to be if those riches ever do increase. Money is not an end in itself, though some people make getting money their goal in life. It is not an end in itself, but it is a means to an end. It is a means to an end, and we should know how to use it if God ever gives it to us. It is a tool that ought to be used to help others and take care of our needs. The Bible says in one place, let him that stole steal no more. Rather let him labor with his hands that he may have to give to him that needeth. God wants us to know what to do with our finances, with our money. And if we ever get rich, if we ever get a lot of money, we ought to know what to do with it. Now, it just might be that none of us here ever will have the opportunity to really obey this verse to the extent that we'd like to be able to obey it. But God's given us some things, and if we be faithful in little and learn how to do that, then God can trust that we'll be faithful in much. But I want to talk about now, what would I do? If I had lots of money, what would I do if God gave me lots of money? The first thing I want to say that I would do is I'd tithe. I would tithe. Me personally, I'm talking about. I've talked a little bit about that from here and there in this church. But you know, it's easy to tithe when you're given $25, $30, $35, $45, maybe $50. It's a little bit easier. But could you imagine the tithe on $1 million? I mean, that's when $100,000 tithe. That's when it starts getting a little, you know, hairy, as they say. You start thinking about, well, gee, I don't know how to give that much to God. I mean, but just think about it. If God gave you $10, well, you'd give him one without much problem. God gave you a dollar, you'd give him a dime without much problem. God gave you $100, you'd give him $10. That wouldn't hurt you too much. But boy, $1 million, and to give him $100,000, I mean, you got to prepare your heart for something like that. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. If God gives you a lot, you ought to tithe just the same as if he gave you a little bit. And that'd be the first thing that I would do, is I would tithe right off the top. $1 million before taxes came out. I would give it to God. I would give him $100,000 right off the top. You say, how do you know it? I know it because every time God's given me money, every time, whether it's been a little or a lot, that's what I've done with it. And I believe that I should do that with it. I've got convictions about it, personal convictions about it. And so if God gave me that much, I know exactly where the first tenth of it would go. It'd go right into, right to him, into the local church, wherever I happen to be a member of at that particular time. That's what I would do with it. And I mentioned taxes, and I'll say this in passing. Yeah, if God gave me a lot of money, I would pay my just taxes. I think the Bible's clear on that. I would pay what I'm supposed to. Honor to whom honor, tribute to whom tribute is due. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, the powers that be ordained of God, Romans chapter 13, etc. So, in passing, let me just say that I do that. So the first thing I do is I would tithe. I would honor the Lord with the first fruits of my substance. The second thing I would do is I would make sure that I recognize the injunction in this verse, verse number 10. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. I would make sure that I would obey that verse right there. Sometimes you can be prepared for something, and then when something happens, all of a sudden, all your preparation goes out the window. Not always, but sometimes you can be prepared and say, well, if this happened, I know I do this. But then when it happens, you get a little bit selfish, a little bit covetous. And you might be prepared to do right with the money if God gave it to you, but when it comes in, you better be ready to do right when it does come in. And what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to stop and check yourself. So after I took a tithe out, and fixed my heart to take a tithe out, I'd start right here and I'd remember now that God said, if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. And I would work at not setting my heart on the riches that God gave me, not letting them get to my heart, not putting my trust in those riches. Set not my heart on them. The Bible says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So if they increase, I would, number one, tithe, and then number two, I wouldn't set my heart on them if they did increase. Number three, I would use my money as a tool to try to help folks. And we'll get into some more details, perhaps, no doubt, in this. But when I would give, whoever I'd give to, I would give expecting nothing in return. The Bible says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. I would give expecting nothing in return, and I would give often anonymously, not letting the folks that got it know where it came from. Bible also talks about when we do our alms, we're to do them in secret, not openly, not sounding the trumpet, you know. Not like you see when some big corporation decides to give a $100,000 check to some other charity, when you see their picture in the newspaper with the big old gigantic check and then shaking hands with the president of the corporation. I mean, that's not somebody that's doing their alms in secret. That's somebody that's doing something to get a social pat on the back and hopefully have more money come back to them before it's all over. To give praise of men. I wouldn't do my works to be seen of men. I'd do them to be seen of God. So I would give and I would expect nothing in return. One of the problems with folks that do get a lot of money and do give is when they give, oftentimes they give, and while they hand the money over to somebody, an organization, they take a hook and they put it in them, and they take that hook and then they expect folks to do things the way that they want them done. And sometimes even well-meaning individuals, when they give, they figure, well, because I give, I've got a right to say this, that, and the other thing to the person and to the organization. But I mean, that's a dangerous thing. I know of a church that had a little trouble with something like that, where a guy took over the church, you know, and there was a millionaire in the church. I'm talking about a church just like a Bible-believing Baptist church. And he took over the church, and there was a millionaire in there. You know, that guy, he'd give lots of money. But, you know, giving that money, he'd really want to put his hooks in deep and make sure that things were done the way he wanted them to do. And when things weren't quite done the way that he wanted them to do, he up and took off, as I understand it. And their church went right on, got split right on down the middle. What I'm saying is this. If God ever gives you money and you're going to use that money to give to other people, give it to them. And when you let go of it, let go of it. And give it to them in good faith. Give it to whoever you're going to give it to in good faith. And don't expect nothing in return. I mean, don't expect any payment back in return by money, time, or favor, or anything else. Just give it to them and let go of the thing and forget about it. Number four, I would make sure that I'd take some of the money that God gave me and I'd use it to help out missionaries. If riches increase, I know a lot of missionaries that could use some extra money to help them out on the field. I'd see that some missionaries that needed it were taken care of, and I try to give them a good helping out, something that would boost them, something that would really help them out, so that they could have their needs better met, and they could get out the gospel better, and see that even more souls got saved. I'd make sure that I gave some to some missionaries. Next thing I would do is I would honor my father and my mother. I'd honor my father and my mother. I would go to them and I'd see if they needed anything. I wouldn't take all of it and give it all to them. I would make sure that I had enough to be able to do these other things that ought to be done. But if they had a need for something, I'd be right there to help them out. Maybe they'd even have something that they wanted and they didn't need. And I would help them out. I'd honor them. Say, why? Because they spent their life sacrificing for me as I grew up, spending their money, their time, giving to me, buying my clothes, buying my food, putting me up in their house. I used their electricity. I drank their water for which they paid the water bill. I lived on their property for which they paid the property taxes. I went to school where they paid the school bill. I mean, they spend a lot of money on me. God says, honor thy father and mother. I would see that they were taken care of. I'd help them out if God increased my riches. I'd see what I could do to help them out. As far as that goes, I'd check with my siblings. Don't have any brothers, but if I did, I'd check with them and sisters. Not to give them everything that they've ever coveted after, but to try to help them out. Especially, I think, in my case, with them being lost. I think it'd be a gesture that would be well taken by them. Them being lost, perhaps it could even help them to see how much that I still love them and care for them and want them to get saved. But I'd honor my father and my mother. I would also honor my father, so to speak, spiritually. Honor my spiritual father, that is. I would check with the man that led me to Christ, and I would see what I could do for him. And I know he could, right now anyway, I know he could use some help, but I'd do whatever I could. I'd give him something that would help him out. I mean, this man still loves God. This man's still serving God, and he struggled for years in my case. In your case, it may be different, but I would honor my spiritual father and try to help him out with some extra money where I could. And you know what? All the time I'd be doing this, and what I'm going to tell you about, I'd be having the time of my life. I mean, I'd get more out of doing that than I would going down to the department store or Sears or the mall and spending it all on myself. I guarantee you, I know I would. I'd have more fun than you would going out and spending it all on everything you ever coveted after. And amen. And I'd have a good time. I'd enjoy this, boy, even if they never knew it came from me. I'd have a good time, you know, having them call you up and say, you never guess what happened. Oh, tell me about it. And then I said, praise God, isn't that a blessing? Ain't that just like God? And I'd get a kick out of it, boy. But I'd honor my father and my mother, and I'd honor my spiritual father also. I'll tell you what else I'd do. I would look for unique opportunities to spend that money for witnessing. For example, I would take and I would invest some of that money in renting me some billboards in strategic locations. And on those billboards, I would put scripture verses where they are up in big, bold letters, and everybody in the town that drove by would have to read them. I'd do it. I'd love to do that. I always get a kick every time we go over to my parents' house in Illinois. When we're coming through Cleveland, I always love to go through Cleveland on Route 90, because you're getting through the city there, and there's a point where they've got this building, and on this building is this big old billboard painted. It's been there for years, and the billboard is a big open Bible. It's a Bible with that's open, and on that Bible, or above and below that Bible, I guess it says in big bold letters where you can't miss it, it says, turn back to the Bible and read it. And don't you know, folks that commute that place back and forth every day, every time they go by that building, they got that big Bible staring them right in the face, reminding them they ought to be reading their Bible. Now, I get a blessing out of things like that. And I'd take it in strategic locations in the town that I live and perhaps other towns, and I'd get me some billboards that get a contract where we paying, you know, so much a month or whatever, and get those things, get scripture put out where people have got to see it and the seed gets sown in their heart and they've got to read it. I think about it in my own life sometimes. What it would have been like as a child to go down the street and look up and see a billboard that said, be sure your sin will find you out. Or the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Or, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Perhaps that could have put an end to my searching and my toiling and my laboring for salvation years earlier, and I could have been more useful for God. I don't know, but I tell you what, I would have liked to have the opportunity to see those things. And if God increased my riches, and if I had lots of money, I'd take some of that money and I would put it to use in situations like that. Renting billboards where you could put out the word of God. I would take out from time to time, as the Lord directed, newspaper ads in newspapers, and take out, you know, half page, quarter page, full page ad, whatever you get the good deal on, and whatever you could afford at the time. And I would take out a nice ad and tell folks the plan of salvation and give them something from the scripture that would point them to the Lord Jesus Christ and point them to the truth. So when they opened up their paper, you know, going through here, comics, editorials, Dear Abby, blah, You know, I mean, just let it right in their face, boy. And folks read the newspapers. I tell you what, if people in the United States read their Bibles as much as they read their newspapers, we'd have a revival that we'd never get over. But I mean, I'd put it right there in the newspaper where it happened. Just it'd slap them right in the face when they opened it up. I'd find unique ways with it. There's all kinds of ways you can do it, and if you got the money to do it. That's what one guy did one time with this concert down on the beach in Florida. This guy from the church I was attending down there, they had these airplanes that pulled these banners, and he rented one of those banners. And I think it only cost him like $100 to do it. But he rented out one of those banners, and it flew over right in the middle of the concert, or when all the folks were gathered there, and on it said, "Be sure your sin will find you out." Put a damper on that. I'd like to fly one of them things over the Lockport Terry's Corner, you know, summer sizzler. I'd be a blessing, wouldn't it? But I mean, I'd take it, and I'd use it just like that. It'd be great. You could have so much fun. I mean, you just have a blast. You learn how to use the money correctly. I like what one guy did, and you could do things like this, guys. This one guy, I'd hear him talk about it for, I guess, years. He talked about taking an airplane over the Vatican and loading it up with tracks and dropping tracks. And he was getting ready to do it one time, but he couldn't get the clearance to fly over there. And so instead, they got all the way over there, and they went through the crowd, passing out a bunch of tracks. Well, I thought that was all over, but I just found out recently that he didn't let it go at that. And this guy, later on, after a couple of years later or so, a few years later, I'm not sure how many years later, he decided to go on his mission again. So he got the airplane, got a bunch of tracks, and he did it. Flew right over the Vatican, dumping out gospel tracks. I mean, tell you how to get saved and everything. And they caught up with him pretty quick, you know, told him never to come back. And he stayed out of jail, at least for a long period of time. Thank God. I don't know if he got in there at all. But he took his wife on him. So they had quite an adventure doing that. But I mean, that will take a little money to get you over to the Vatican. Take you a little money to get you up in the airplane and spend money on the fuel and everything else. But I tell you what, that's quite an investment that guy made spiritually. When the trumpet sounds and he gets before the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to find out he's made an investment that's going to yield dividends that are far beyond his wildest imagination. I tell you what, if God gave me money, I'd remember that money is temporal. But the way I can spiritually invest it is eternal. And I could make it last for eternity if I'd invest it wisely. I'd find unique ways as such to witness and get out the gospel and get out the truth. I take, like what we did here. Oh, we took up some offerings from some folks here, and when we contributed and we got together, this was a couple, 3 years ago or so, and we took that track, that booklet, Millions Disappear, with the drawings in it, and what's called the Metro Community News, which they now localized for our area and call it Lockport Community News. We took and we distributed, I can't remember how many right now, hundreds, probably into the thousands of those things, into this area. And so every house that had one of those things delivered to it got in with it one of those tracks. And so they all had to pick them up and check it out and read it, you know. And they're going to look at the thing. They may not read the whole thing through, but before they have decided to throw it away, they've seen something in there that can stick with them to point them to Jesus Christ and help them out. But don't you know that we who contributed that thing, don't you know that was a wise way to invest your money? And if you have lots of money, you can do more things like that. But some of those things do take money. So what I remind myself when I start thinking about these things is, if I had lots of money, if God increased my riches, I'd not set my heart upon Him, but I would plan and strategically plan to do things just like that and invest my money and use it wisely. I would take and get tracts to supply them for those that needed them and would get them out. I know a lot of folks, missionaries, on mission field. Now, they could use a lot of tracks. And thank God for the missions program we got going here. We're going to be able to, Lord willing, in the very near future, do something like that for some missionaries that can use some tracks that'll get them out, but don't have a supply to get them out like they'd like to get them out. But if I had lots of money to do it all the time, then I could help them out. I could help folks out like that regularly and get tracks out to folks that need them and that would distribute them and that would help to get out the gospel. I would also, wisely as I could, I would seek out some poor folks that needed some help and help them out Bible talks about that. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth to the Lord, and that which he hath given he will pay him again. Bible talks about, I think it's in the book of Galatians, how that Paul and Peter and James talked about remembering the poor. We're supposed to remember the poor. And we ought to remember them and help them out as we can. But I'd look for ones that needed some help, and I'd help them out. I'd look for some struggling Christians, some needy Christians. Christians have been struggling for years, but been faithful to God. And I'd come around the back door where they didn't know it, and I'd just slip something on them so that God, so they could use it and help them out. I would, in doing so, though, I would make sure not to let leeches latch onto me and soak me, that we don't really have any care for what I'm doing or for God, and just try to get everything they can out of me. And I would make sure not to let them do that. And I would also see that they wouldn't shame me into supporting them. I'm not talking about a missionary. I'm talking about folks that, you know, call up the church and sit there and tell you 15 good reasons why you ought to give them all the money that they request out of you. I'm talking about folks like that. And I'd make sure that the leeches wouldn't soak me dry to have me waste the money. I'd try to invest it wisely, use it wisely. God decided to give me lots of money, and we know, like I said, he probably never will, but if he did, I'd be prepared. I would also sift through the multitude of things that would come my way requesting my contributions and my charitable dollars. And I would sift through those things, and I would try to help only those that I felt God wanted me to help. I would feel no obligation to give any donation of any size to the United Way. I'd feel personally no obligation to do that. I'd give it to somebody. I know too many missionaries and too many godly organizations that care about God and care about the Bible and care about the truth to help out before I go wasting my money on these worldly, socialistic programs. But I would sift through the, and believe me, there'd be enough to sift through, because once folks find out, and organizations find out you got money, you'll get it, the stuff coming in right and left and up and down. They'll want your money. So I'd sift through that stuff, and I would make sure to give it to only those that I believe God wanted me to give it to. I would use the money prayerfully. I would pray about what to do with it. I would ask God, what do you want me to do with this? Where do you want me to put it? Should I help out this person? Should I help out that person? Should I give this there? How much should I give there? I would seek prayerfully what to do. And let me say this. If I were a layman, just somebody in the regular church, I would seek out the advice of a godly preacher, a man of God. I'd seek out somebody that you could trust, who wouldn't say, oh, yes, we have, you know, this need. You could help us out right here. I'd seek out, I like folks like Brother Gibb. Brother Gibb has somebody, he goes and preaches places, and he sometimes preaches on money and how you ought to give, and he'll have somebody come up and ask him, you know, I got this money, what do you think I ought to do with it? I mean, here he is, an evangelist, got needs and everything. He could say, I'll tell you what, you know, you ought to do with it, and like that. But you know what he does? He gives them the names of some missionaries that he knows that need some help so they can help out those missionaries. That's what I mean about seeking the advice of a godly preacher who could give you some wisdom about what to do. Not somebody that's going to try to soak it off for themselves, of course, but somebody that can tell you how you could wisely invest that money for the glory of God. The Bible says, whether therefore we eat or drink, or whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. And when it comes to spending money, that's under the category of whatsoever we do, and we ought to do that to the glory of God. And if I were a layman, which is to say, not a pastor, not a preacher, just an average church member, I would seek the wisdom of a godly preacher who could give me advice about what to do with the finances that God gives me. I would take some of the money, and I'd spend some of it on radio and TV time. I wouldn't waste all of my money on it, but I'd invest it wisely and strategically, and I would avoid getting in on the blocks of programs where they huddle all the religious programs on Sunday morning, you know. I'd get prime time. I mean, prime time radio, prime time TV, where it's going to get put right in the face of the heathen Americans that need it the most. That's what I'd do. I'd invest it wisely that way. Do you know that the program that we put on, the Christian Video Ministries program, from the folks in Texas who take the drawings from Florida and put them out, and we take and we put it locally on our cable TV station here. Do you know the people that are behind that are people that God has given some money to and have taken of their own money and invested their own money, their own time, and their own effort to get that program put out all over the United States, wherever they can get it put out. And they've got it on scores of stations over the United States. But there's expense involved in that. They have to get the equipment to edit, the equipment to tape the stuff. They've got to spend the money on the tapes and the money on the postage and all kinds of expenses that come in with that. And you've got you've got a small group of folks that have taken the money that God has given them and decided they want to do something for God with it. There's another guy that was, he's one of the guys that's involved with one of those groups. He got saved, and he's a fairly young guy, but he was a banker in Texas, and he was born into one of these rich ranch Texas families. But he got saved, and God got a hold of him. He read this book that he liked, and the book was called Sure Word of Prophecy. And he decided, you know, the folks in my town need that book. They need this thing. And he bought, I don't know how many copies of that thing, and went to distribute it to the upper echelon of his elite Texas town. And he got that book into people like college professors and religious leaders and got them out. And it's a good book that deals with basically social issues in light of the Bible. And the Bible, of course, comes out on top, so most people don't have too much use for it. But he got that thing and distributed it all around, you know, and he took some of his money and invested it that way. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do with your money if you know how to use it and if you'll use it prayerfully. But that, like I said, I get some radio time, some TV time. That person right there, or those, that group of folks right there, they spend their money in order to get out a program to put on TV where folks can see it and get saved. And the Lord only knows how many folks have gotten saved because of it. I tell you another thing that I do. God gave me the money right here in this town where I'm at. I would invest in putting up a Christian radio station of our own. Now, I wouldn't waste time with a Christian television station, but a Christian radio station. I got information you could do it for about $100,000 or so. I mean, that's, like I said, if I had the money. But I mean, that's not even all that much, one thing. For that much, you could get your own station, get on the air, the people set up everything, and you could just point, you could put out, I mean, just think what you could do with that thing. You could show folks what Christian radio really is. not the WDCX and Harold Camping, you know, on 89 point, whatever it is. I mean, that's not what great Christian radio, if there is such a thing, ought to be run. I mean, could you imagine just having a station where you could put it out in Lockport, play the music you wanted to play, the preaching you wanted to play? I mean, you could have the Roloff and Ruckman Hour. I mean, give them Jack Hiles for dessert, and you just stomp. I mean, you could give them some good preaching. But I mean, just wouldn't that it'd be great, wouldn't it? But I'm saying, you know, if I God ever dumped that much money on me, I know where I could put it. I know how I could put the good news. I know how I could use that stuff for the salvation of souls in order to get out the truth. And in order to see people come to know God even better, I would take, God gave me some money, I would take it and I'd use it to take care of my family, but I would take care that I would not spoil my family. I'd use it to take care of my family, but take care not to spoil them. Not to give them everything that they covet after. Not to give them everything that they want just because we can have it. I would teach them to be faithful with it. I would make sure that my kids still knew and learned how to work and earn their own money and earn their own way. I would take care of my family, but I would take care not to spoil them. I would take the money that God gave me, if I had lots of money, and I'd use it to help out some small churches that need some help. I know numbers of small churches around this country that are struggling. And a lot of times struggling to get on their feet because they can't get a few things done because they lack the funds to get it done. And I know some good works that are struggling like that, that I'd be glad to help out if God gave me the money to help them out like that. If God gave me lots of money, I would never forget the value of a dollar. I'd never forget it, and I would see to it that I remember what it was like when I didn't have it. I'd remember the times that I struggled. I'd remember the times when I scraped. I remember the times when I didn't know where my bills were or whether they were going to get paid, and I would thank God for His great goodness and His mercy in allowing me to have whatever it was that He had given me. I'd never forget the value. Never forget the value of a dollar. And I'd make sure that I remember what it was like before I did not have the money. I would try to be the same person that I always been as a Christian. I would not let it change my personality. I would try to be the same person. I would try to have as much faith in God. I would be just what God allowed me to be before He gave me that money. I know a couple friends of mine that I went to, the first Bible college I ever went to, they went there, and I met up with them there, and they got married while we were there, and he's pastoring a church now somewhere in, I think, Missouri. A few years ago, he had a relative that died. Left them, I think it was something like $80,000. You know what they did? They had a church. The church needed some things. They took, never told anybody in the church about it. Didn't tell them what happened. But they took a great portion of that money, used it to fix up their building, fix up the church property. And I wouldn't have found out because they wouldn't have told me. But another friend of mine, who's a close, very close friend of them, a lot closer to them than I am, got together with them and he found out about the thing. And so they had talked to him and so forth, and were praising God for what he'd done there. And he told me about it. And he said they just never let on. And he said they're just the same old Cliff and Beth that they always been. Didn't let it change them. And if God ever gave me lots of money, I wouldn't want to set my heart on it. And I wouldn't want it to change me. And I'd work to see that it didn't change me from being where I was supposed to be. I guess in conclusion, what I'd like to say is if God ever did give me lots of money, I'd do basically the same thing that I'm doing right now with it. Only I'd do more of it. I'd do more of it. Wouldn't change my life a great deal from the pattern that my life faces right now. It just increased my capacity of perhaps doing more than I could do right now if God ever gave me lots of money. Now, as I said, I don't seek after lots of money. I don't pray and ask God nightly to give me $1 million. I don't ask Him weekly or monthly to give me $1 million. I don't even ask Him yearly to give me $1 million. I'm not seeking after a lot of money. I ask for $10 million. No, I just did. I'm not seeking after lots of money. But I tell you what, came across this verse in my Bible that told me, if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. And I came to recognize that if God ever did give me money, I've got to be prepared to do with it what I'm supposed to do. I've got to be ready and know how to use it. I don't want it. I don't want it to change and wreck my personality. I don't want it to change and wreck my Christianity. I want to love God just as much and more than I love Him right now. Serve Him just as much and more than I serve Him right now. And if God ever gives you lots of money, maybe you can stop and think about how you ought to take and invest that money wisely. As I said earlier, he that is faithful in little, faithful and much. It starts where you're at. And God has given us responsibility right where we're at to be faithful with it. And if He ever does decide to give anybody, even in this room, a lot of money, I hope maybe you'll stop and think about what your attitude ought to be about that. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the Word of God. And now, Lord, I pray as we go our separate ways and meditate on this somewhat unusual message, that You'd help us to be practical in our hearts where we're at right now, that we might be faithful in that which You've given to us presently. And Lord, I don't know, but maybe there's somebody in this room that one day is going to be a millionaire. I don't know. Maybe that's why You wanted them to hear this message. I know that probably most of us won't be. Maybe none of us will be. There's that possibility. I pray. But if it ever happens to any of us, and maybe just increase some money a little bit, but if it ever happens to any of us, may we wisely, prayerfully, and biblically seek to do that which will glorify You and bear fruit and last for eternity, yielding us treasures in heaven and allowing and helping souls to get saved on this earth. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our psalm books tonight, and before we go, let's sing 328. Let's strike that. Let's, instead of 328, let's turn to 323. 323. And this is a song about the will of God, and God's got a will and a purpose for each of us. And, you know, in the subject that we're talking about, that takes some wrestling sometimes for folks to come to terms with it, whether it be what to do with a little or much. As we sing this song, let's just think about our relationship with God and what God's done for us and what God wants to do with us. 323. Let's all stand as we sing. Down to the altar to get right with God, but maybe there's something that did speak to your heart, something you do need to get right with God. The invitation is open. Maybe there's something else that you need to pray about that's different from what we've talked about. But if you need to use the altar is open. You use it. Messages that we've heard today, I pray, Lord, that you'd help them to indeed make us more faithful and better Christians to thee. I pray, Lord, that this message we talked about tonight could even practically help some of us now where we're at. I pray that you'd help us to see these truths, and Lord, help us to wisely use all of the resources you give us for the glory of God in whatever capacity, whatever area you give them to us. I pray that you'd help us to glorify you, that much fruit might be brought forth. Thank you for your love to us, Lord. Especially thank you for the great riches you've given us spiritually at the expense of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who left all and he who was rich became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich spiritually. And we thank you for that. But Lord, that's the most important to us. And Lord, if you never do give us any earthly riches, we're content and thankful for all the spiritual riches you've given us now and that which you're going to give us for all of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.